One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Definition of a Pharisee is a despiser of grace. Today we're looking at really the second section of this great parable in Luke chapter 15. What we call the parable of the prodigal son should probably be called the parable of the prodigal sons, plural. We're looking at the older brother, the attitude of the older brother to the fact, to the mission of Jesus who came to seek and to save that which is lost, who came to dine with the tax collectors and the sinners. And the Pharisees are just enraged about this. They hate Jesus for this. They can't believe he's associating with these kinds of people. And in this parable, Jesus exposes a deep problem in the older brother's heart toward the message of free grace. Oh, it's in all of us, and we have to learn this today and understand what the kingdom is and who Jesus is building that kingdom with. None but sinners. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we want to invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. And you can also go to our Facebook page and find us there at Abounding Grace Radio. We have two apps we've put together for your smartphones, for your Android and your iPhone, and through iTunes so that you can listen to Abounding Grace at your convenience. So thankful to our listeners for listening to Abounding Grace. If these messages are a blessing to you, do please write to us. And if you do decide to support us, 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to these major regions of the United States. Thanks again for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. May this gospel continue in all of its glory to richly bless you. Here is the message from Luke chapter 15.
In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus made a jolting statement to the Pharisees who were sitting there and listening to him. And he said this to them in Matthew chapter 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." Here it is. "For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." You don't go in and you keep everyone else out. What a sweeping indictment. That defines everything Jesus is exposing in this parable. That really does capture the parable. I have made the case that ultimately this parable is not so much about the rebel younger son. This parable shows us the love of the father for prodigals. God's willingness is put on display to receive sinners, all with the goal of exposing an attitude of the older son who has shut up the kingdom to those who are coming in, and he won't enter himself. All of that raises important questions, you know, when you think about the whole context of this and Jesus giving this parable. Do they understand at all the gospel mission of Christ? Do they know why God sent his son, why he had to? Don't they know that Jesus had come to seek and to save that which was lost? Their whole attitude demonstrated no understanding of need and no understanding of gospel and no understanding of the need for grace. Don't they know God? Don't they get it? What kind of God have they created? What kind of God are they preaching to the masses? Jesus is utterly exposing their hypocrisy after they especially openly criticized him for eating with the tax collectors and sinners, which is what really did drive this entire parable. This is the reason Jesus gave these three parables in a row. They're all one with the same meaning. Remember that in verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable. Well, we considered the first part this morning, and Jesus is painting just a glorious picture for us. With extremes, he's painting extreme situations and scenarios here to make the great point that their attitude doesn't at all correspond to God's attitude to receive sinners. In fact, they looked at Jesus and said he can't be from God because he's sitting with these defiled sinners. And so they had a cross issue going on here where they said he must be from Satan because he sits with Satan's people. Now, remember what Jesus did. He graphically depicted one of the worst evils that a young man could do in that particular culture. The sin had to do with an attack on the honor of the father, the honor of the name. So remember the basic story here. The father had these two sons. The younger said to him, "Father, give me the portion of goods. Give me all of the goods. Give me everything that belongs to me, that falls to me. I want out." And he committed a shameful display described in this parable of taking his father's inheritance, dragging his dad's name through the mud, departing to Gentile country, wasting away his life in prodigal, wasteful, extravagant living, loose, immoral living, harlotry. In that culture, this display would have so shamed the family name, they would have utterly written him out of the family for good. It got even worse. He joined himself to a citizen of that country who ended up then sending him to feed with the pigs. What an awful rock bottom situation we have presented to us in this parable. They really couldn't have imagined something worse happening to the family. The Jews would even scrub off Gentile defilement, you understand, and dirt before entering back into their cities when they left. They had ritual washings. Well, this morning Jesus did it. He described the most amazing event. And in the midst of all of this, guess what happened? He repented. He turned. Sorrow filled his heart. He came home and it was all planned out. He thought to himself, "Well, listen, slaves are better in dad's house. They're treated better than I am. So I'm just going to go back and I'll do what it takes to earn his favor." That his status would remain as a slave until the father then in that culture would initiate him back into the house as a son. That even being a slave was better than feeding with the pigs. He came home. The real moment of the parable this morning, really the shame of this, at least from the ways that the Pharisees would have seen it, the shame of it all is the action of the father. It's a shocking scene. The father is waiting by the window. The father is looking out the window. In the distance, he sees his son. And as soon as the father sees the silhouette of his son, he bolts out. He runs as fast as he can, and he falls on the neck of his pig-styed son, embraces him, and forgave him without one work. embraced him, loved him, clothed him. Through the grand feast, the whole thing showed nothing but joy. The whole thing had ended on such a wonderful mark of joy and happiness. What a tragedy when somebody runs. What a tragedy when a young person runs. What a tragedy when we run from the Lord. We're all prodigals. Well, Pharisees are just furious by this point. Absolutely furious, if you can put yourself in their shoes. That boy needs to work. That boy needs to get it back. That boy needs to earn favor with this God or with his father. Even in the conventional wisdom of our day, you know, what father would just, okay, come on back in, everything's good. The most moving thing about the parable is how Jesus applied it. He applied the whole thing in the middle of this by saying, before he started, this is God's disposition toward a sinner when he comes home. Heaven rejoices. Angels are mimicking what the Heavenly Father has taught them. This is God's disposition. There is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Jesus here is giving the purpose for which he came forth. There's no parable that so beautifully puts on display the love of God better than this, the Father's love in giving his Son. Look at God receiving filthy sinners. Now, tonight we get to the heart of Jesus' concern. Pharisees are standing there right in front of them. He depicts exactly how Pharisees now, how heaven views the returned prodigal, but now the concern about the attitude of the older son, which represents them. Look at verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. Now, the brilliance of this parable is that Jesus uses a variety of things to really capture the spirit and the attitude of this older brother. Remember, this was the one who was morally upright. Morally upright. This is the one who had always been there. This is the one who never left. And what we find is the most unexpected thing in the parable, that in actuality, we're finding a lot out about his heart. He's just as far as the other younger brother from the father. Living in the father's house, he doesn't even care about the father. Think about this. Jesus emphasizes the fact that he was in the countryside or the field. So he's out doing his own thing. Notice how Jesus has set this up. Essentially, you have two sons returning home. Don't miss this. Two sons are coming home. Both are prodigals in the proper sense. How so? Well, who's coming near to the house? The question we should think of is, whose house? Remember verse 12? Whose house is this? Well, all the livelihood had been divided. In principle, this was the older son's house. Until the father was dead, he had already laid claim to the house. Everything had been given to the younger son, who had went out and squandered everything. Whatever was left was his. You could put it this way. Ever since the livelihood was divided, the younger brother took his and left. This son stayed in the house. This son remained. This son kept the house up. This son was building the house. He has been in the house. He's been providing for the house. The house is essentially his house, if you will. Now you can understand the intensity of this. He comes up to the house, and all he hears is music and dancing. There is a party going on. Dancing. Great music. They're listening to all this. He can hear it. You could probably imagine. I don't know if it was like this, but you could imagine them all hooked up with arms and their legs are going up and they're all dancing around, right? The older brother comes up and he hears all this going on. And he says, what is this? Well, think about it. He's so far from the father, he doesn't even go in. He refuses to go into the house. He calls one of the servants. Explain this to me. As if to say, if the younger son had no real interest, does this one care about why his father is joyful? The contrast here is startling. Both sons are represented as alienated from the father. One, the profligate, the other, the moralist. What a moralist. And yet, only one comes to realize the need for the father. He goes to the servant. Explain this. Your brother has come home. And because your father received him safe and sound, he killed the fatted calf for him. What a moment. Imagine the excitement of the servant. Can you imagine the attitude of the son? He did what? My father is eating with him. My father has received him back. Is he using my portion of the inheritance? And now we see what Jesus is striking at here, don't we? This was the big problem the Pharisees had with Jesus. They were saying it his entire ministry. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. There was the charge. This guy hangs out with thugs. He eats with these guys. He associates with them. He's going out into Gentile regions. And he's getting their filth on him. He touches them, the lepers. He does everything against their unclean, clean laws. He goes into people's houses like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Are you kidding me? He makes a part of his inner circle of the 12, his closest communing circle, Matthew, the chief tax collector, a wretched, small, mokey tax collector. You know what that all brought about? Brought about this. They said, no true prophet could do this. He has a devil. He's a Beelzebub. He's the ruler of demons. Jesus would come along and say, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God's on a rescue mission. And they stood furious with stones. The older son, so far removed from the father. Verse 28, he is angry. You notice it? Says it? He wouldn't go in. No, wait. The other one came in. This one won't go in. And he's in the house. Think about that. Farther going down the road, the same picture is that now the father runs out to meet this son. Look at the father. Look at the character of the father here. Look at how the father is depicted in this parable. The father goes out to meet this son. And in the mind of this son is, how dare you, father, receive him? Do you know what he's done? Do you know what he did to your name? Do you know what he did? He took your name. He dragged it through the mud. Do you know the shame he brought on our house? Do you know the shame he brought on your house and your name and everything you worked for, everything you taught, everything, all your principles, he just trashed. This is really sad that you've done this. To which you stop and say, did he ever love his brother in the first place? Did he ever himself go out and try to stop his brother when his brother ran? Did he ever run out and say, no, no, brother, don't do this. Don't do this with your life. He is furious at grace. You know, that's a Pharisee. The best definition of a Pharisee is somebody furious at grace. He was angry, verse 28, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. I mean, it's seriously like this morning, the supper, and the father, somebody's out at the door mad about somebody who's in here, and the father runs out and he opens up the door and he, come in, come on, son, come in. How can we open up the door wider for you to come in? Come into the house. Share in this joy. Share in my joy. What an amazing moment. As he is shaming his own father by not coming into his father's feast. It's easy sometimes to reach someone who has blatantly despised everything and lived in open sin, because once the famine hits, the conscience is so sensitive to the remedy, and they know what they've been, they know what they've tried, they know what they've done, they struggle with God's love, they struggle with whether God will receive them, but they are so sensitive in the conscience. And they well up because they know where they've been. It can be really hard being in the house. And we could delude ourselves in self-righteousness and be living quite far from the Father in the house. Have you thought about the picture that Jesus is painting? Come. Both sons, come, son, come in. You want to keep staying out there. Come. What are you doing with your life? Come. And now we're getting to the heart of his problem. The elder son is invited to the feast. Remember chapter 14, a great feast was planned. And the Lord invited many and they didn't come in. So the Lord said, that's it. If they don't want to come, I'm going and getting others. Go out quickly into the streets. Go into the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, bring in the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Come in. They came. They came in. These foul ones, they came in the house. And here, even though this one ever came, he is pictured here, even though he was in the house, never would come into the feast in the house, he is furious at grace. He thinks, how could God build his kingdom with people like this? This is the chaff that the wind should drive away. Verse 29 gets to the heart of everything tonight. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command. You hear it? I have worked. This guy needs to make some kind of restitution before he's just received back in. You know, there would have been some kind of public humiliation. We looked at that this morning, ridiculing at the gate. There would have been used to this, shame. But you just embraced him. You just threw your neck on. You fell on his neck. And you gave him a higher status than me. You gave him my robe. It's my robe you threw on him. You already divided his portion. You notice the Spirit? I worked. It's a legal spirit. I mean, think of this in connection with the parable of the workers in the vineyard, you know. Some started in the vineyard at the beginning of the day, and they, you know, then the Lord brings in workers at the very last hour. I mean, how do you make anything on anyone who comes in at 5 o'clock on a work day? You don't make anything on them. They didn't do anything to benefit you. But then the landowner gives them the same amount as those who had been in the vineyard all day long. You don't do that. I built this. I sweat. I worked. You see the legal spirit in you?
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.